This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, August 2nd, 2018, coming up this hour.
Stocks in Asia plummet as the White House considers higher tariffs on China.
U.S. futures and European equities follow suit while the dollar strengthens.
Assets in Turkey plunge after U.S. sanctions on government officials.
And shares of Tesla surge as the company burns through less cash.
President Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be close to the final stages of talks for an interview in the Russia probe. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Big Yankee Red Sox series starts tonight in Boston. Yanks with a bad loss yesterday to the lowly Orioles. The Mets lost again in Washington.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
A sell-off in Asia is spilling into U.S. futures and European equities as the Trump administration's latest threats on trade rattle markets. 601 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 17 points this morning. Dow futures down 168. NASDAQ futures down 55. The DAX in Germany is down 1.8%. CAC in Paris down 0.9%. The FTSE 100 down 1.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong dropped 2.2%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.97%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 61 cents to $67.04 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $3.30 to $12.24.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.1613. The yen, 111.50. Nathan.
Karen, let's begin in Asia, where stocks have plunged after the White House confirmed it's considering higher tariffs on Chinese goods. And China once again says it is prepared to retaliate if the U.S. makes good on that threat. Today's session erased $220 billion from Asian equities. Bloomberg's Juliet Sallies in Singapore with the latest. Juliet.
Nathan and Karen, the CSI 300 closed lower by 2.2%, while the Chinex index of small cap stocks fell to lows not seen since February 2015. Hong Kong's Hang Seng index also plummeted with 10 cent leading declines. Elsewhere, the Bank of Japan stepped in to stop climbing yields, announcing an unscheduled operation to buy 400 billion yen worth of 5 to 10 year bonds. 10-year JGB yields paired gains after earlier touching 0.145%, the highest since February 2017. The Nikkei closed down by 1%. Stock market losses in Seoul, Sydney, Taipei, Singapore and Mumbai also weighed on the regional index, but Chinese and Hong Kong investors certainly bore the brunt of Thursday's selling. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. We get another central bank decision today, and this one is live. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Naira Chahich joins us now from the Bank of England. Good morning, Naira.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. Markets fully pricing in that quarter point rate rise from the Bank of England today, and economists expecting it too. But is this the right time to tighten policy? The data says go. Retail sales have bounced back. Unemployment is the lowest since the 1970s. And crucially, inflation is above target. There are some signs that we've had a pickup in the economy since that first quarter slowdown. The big question mark, though, is Brexit and whether the Bank of England could be hiking into a potential slowdown. Now, Mark Carney will get a chance to guide the markets following the decision, but with expectations going into the meeting so high, he may need to deliver more than just a rate rise to give support to sterling. It's hit a two-week low in today's session. At the Bank of England in London, I'm Naira Chahich, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Naira, thanks. In Turkey, the currency has weakened to a record. The Turkish lira pushed past 5 per dollar today, while stocks and bonds tumble. The moves come after the U.S. imposed unprecedented sanctions on the country. Bloomberg's Simon Demirkan reports from Istanbul.
The sanctions target Turkey's Minister of Justice, Abdulhamit Gül, and Minister of Interior, Süleyman Soylu, both of whom played leading roles in the organizations responsible for the arrest and detention of U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson. In Istanbul, Simin Demirkan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Simon, thank you. Here in the U.S., the Federal Reserve is sticking with its plan to gradually lift rates. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. The Fed unanimously decided to leave interest rates unchanged while making it clear borrowing costs are headed higher. They cited economic activity that has been rising at a strong rate and repeated guidance for further gradual increases. Scott Minard is Chief Investment Officer at Guggenheim.
The plan for rate increases is being further cemented. We are going to get two more rate increases this year.
The odds for a rate hike at the central bank's September meeting have now risen to 100%. Policymakers weigh their action as the U.S. economy grew at a 4.1% pace in the second quarter, and inflation is close to the Fed's 2% goal. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Now let's get some earnings out of Europe. Societe Generale's investment bank posted better than expected results. At the same time, it recorded a 4% decline in revenue from stock trading and prime services. Shares of SocGen are down more than 2%.
Shares of Barclays were initially higher after reporting earnings. They're now down 1%. The bank beat on most key metrics, including trading revenue. And Barclays said it remains on track to meet its return on equity targets for 2019 and 2020.
Shares of BMW are down 2%. Earnings before interest and taxes for the German automaker fell 6.3%. BMW is keeping its forecast for the year. That makes it an outlier in the industry. Most car companies are cutting financial targets as global trade tensions escalate.
Shares of Rolls-Royce are higher by 3%. The company said full-year earnings will be at the upper end of its forecast. Rolls-Royce posted a profit of $100 million. Analysts had expected a loss.
Here in the U.S., shares of Tesla are up 8% in early trading after the company burned through less cash in the second quarter. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett reports.
CEO Elon Musk says profit is around the corner after years of losses. Free cash flow was negative $739 million for the 3 months ending in June. Analysts were projecting Tesla would go through about $900 million during the period. Musk has insisted the company will not need to raise more capital this year, a view that Wall Street has doubted after the company repeatedly pushed back manufacturing targets for the Model 3. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 607 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what's going on in the world. Michael.
Thank you, Nathan. President Donald Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be nearing the final stages of negotiations over whether the president will sit for questioning. The two sides have exchanged proposals over the scope of a possible interview about whether Trump's 2016 campaign colluded with Russia. Meanwhile, the White House is downplaying the president's Twitter rampage yesterday, slamming the special counsel's investigation. The story from Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro.
When the president tweeted the words, "Attorney General Jeff Sessions should stop this rigged witch hunt right now," Connecticut Democratic Senator Dick Blumenthal reacted this way.
This tweet strikes me as very close to obstruction of justice.
But White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says that wasn't an order, just Trump's opinion.
He's certainly expressing the frustration that he has with the level of corruption that we've seen from people like Jim Comey.
Sessions recused himself from the Russia investigation long ago. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Radio.
A divided U.S. appeals court struck down a key part of President Donald Trump's contentious effort to crack down on cities and states that limit cooperation with immigration officials, saying an executive order threatening to cut funding for sanctuary cities was unconstitutional. Vice President Mike Pence arrived in Honolulu to attend a transfer ceremony to honor the remains of the American troops killed in the Korean War.
President Trump asked me to be here on this day on his behalf. And honestly, I've never been more humbled to be asked to represent him.
The remains will go to a lab to be analyzed for identification. Customers of Chipotle, Arby's, and Sonic should check their credit and debit card receipts. Those businesses were among 3,600 companies hacked by an international group. Now authorities believe they have the heads of the criminal enterprise. One has been arrested in Poland and the other in Spain. U.S. Attorney Annette Hayes in Washington State.
These hackers think they can hide behind keyboards in faraway places, and that they can escape the long arm of United States law. I'm here to tell you, and I think this announcement makes clear, they cannot do that.
The suspected hackers are awaiting extradition to Seattle. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, nothing like a big Yankee-Red Sox series tonight. Fenway Park, first to four. C.C. Sabathia facing a virtual unknown Brian Johnson. He's in for the injured Red Sox ace Chris Sale. Yanks have gone 5-4 against their arch rivals. They need to win at least 3 of 4 now to get closer to first place, and they are 5.5 games behind after a bad loss at the stadium yesterday to the lowly Orioles, 7-5. Baltimore was already a dreadful team. They just traded away most of the decent players that they had. Sonny Gray had gone 3-0 against them. He got booed off the mound in the third inning, and he responded by smiling.
I've always been a mellow guy that kind of tries to think things through and get over it and move on. And it's just frustrating. And well, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But I think everyone kind of handles things differently, and that's kind of how I've always done it.
Lance Lynn replaced him, looked good in his Yankee debut. He may now replace Gray in the rotation. Gleyber Torres did hit 2 home runs in the loss. In Washington, Jose Reyes, the day after he gave up 2 home runs while pitching the 8th inning in that 25-4 loss, hit 2 homers himself. Not enough. Mets lost to the Nationals 5-3. Scandal at Ohio State. This is the Buckeyes start to get ready for the upcoming season. Their legendary coach, Urban Meyer, put on paid administrative leave pending an investigation into just when Meyer knew about Zach Smith's history of domestic violence. Smith was fired as an assistant coach, and Meyer last week said he had no previous knowledge. But a report yesterday said everyone, Meyer, his wife, and everyone on the staff, had known for at least 3 years. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Hey, online sports betting has arrived in New Jersey. DraftKings announced it'll start taking bets in the state through its new mobile app. That makes the Garden State the first legal online sports wagering home. Sports betting became legal in New Jersey back in May. That's when the Supreme Court struck down a federal law that bars it in most of the country. Brick-and-mortar operators started taking bets in June after Governor Phil Murphy signed a state law regulating online sports betting. This is Bloomberg. 6:11 on Wall Street, and straight ahead here on Bloomberg Daybreak, we will preview the Bank of England's rate decision. It is coming up in less than an hour from London. Bloomberg UK economist Dan Hansen joins us on the program next. This is Bloomberg.
Global News, 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 6:17 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Shares of Tesla are gaining after the electric car maker burned through less cash than expected in the second quarter. Elon Musk expects to build up to 55,000 Model 3s this quarter. The Bank of Japan acted to avert an early test of its new yield curve tolerance level. The BOJ unexpectedly offered to buy $3.6 billion of 5 to 10-year debt after yields jumped to an 18-month high. GAM is freezing redemptions at some bond funds. The move comes as clients pulled money after the investment firm suspended manager Tim Haywood. And President Trump may be close to agreeing to an interview with Robert Mueller. The Washington Post says Mueller is willing to cut the number of questions posed to the president. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, thank you, Hannah George. You mentioned Tesla up 8.5% in early trading. Dow DuPont said sales in the seeds and pesticide division jumped 25% in the second quarter. That helped push total revenue up 17%, beating analyst estimates. Cigna reported second quarter operating profit that beat analyst estimates. Its shares up 2.2% this morning. Cognizant beat, so did Bombardier. S&P futures, meanwhile, lower, down about 18 points. Dow futures down 171. NASDAQ futures down 55. And China saying it was ready to retaliate against the latest threat by the U.S. to raise tariffs on goods. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House says that when President Donald Trump said his attorney general should immediately end special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia investigation, he was just giving his opinion and that it was not in order. The Trump administration eased rules on short-term health insurance coverage, allowing insurers to offer cheaper plans with limited coverage for up to 3 years. However, insurers would be able to turn down coverage for pre-existing conditions. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles, the Mets lost to the Nationals, the A's won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks for coming up on 620 on Wall Street, less than an hour away from the Bank of England's rate decision. Dan Hansen is a UK economist for Bloomberg Economics, getting us ready for what the BOE is going to say. And Dan, I guess just about all signs point to a rate hike, and a lot of investors are wondering why now.
Yeah, good morning. So that's absolutely right. I mean, our expectation is that the Bank of England will lift rates by 25 basis points today. The why now, it all stems from Brexit. Theresa May has not made anywhere near enough progress in Brexit negotiations as many people had been expecting. But on the other hand, the economy appears to be holding up pretty well, and that's really what the Bank of England is looking at. In the very near term, you've got growth rebounding, you've got an unemployment rate that's at a 42-year low, and you've got inflation above the Bank of England's target. So you add all those things together, and I think the bank thinks that the right move now is to take away a little bit of that emergency stimulus that's been in place for nearly a decade now, and they just want to take a little bit back.
No, but I guess that still leaves the open question of whether the growth we're seeing, at least in this short term, is sustainable.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the first quarter of the year in the UK was a dire quarter for growth. We grew by 0.2% quarter on quarter. That's 0.8% annualized quarter on quarter. And that's extremely weak. And the question the Bank of England had at the time, and many economists had at the time, is this a signal that the economy is going to slow for a protracted period? Now, it turns out the data we've had since suggests that that was a temporary slowdown. It was a blip. But you're right. There are questions going forward about how fast the economy is going to be able to grow. Productivity growth has been extremely weak in the UK. And that's a question. It's a question of communication for the Bank of England, because it's lifting rates at a time when growth is rebounding, but it's not rebounding to a rate that's anywhere near the levels we saw prior to the financial crisis.
What kind of communication should we be expecting from the MPC when it comes to Brexit expectations?
So on Brexit specifically, the Bank of England takes quite a broad brush approach. What it does is it assumes an average of possible outcomes for the Brexit negotiations. Now, the possible outcomes for the Brexit negotiations is extremely wide.
Yeah.
So it's very difficult for the Bank of England. It's very difficult for any forecaster, make no mistake about that. But they're conditioning their forecast on this average of possible outcomes. Now, when we get more clarity, if we get more clarity at some point about what the trading relationship the UK is heading towards, the Bank of England will be able to adjust its forecast. But until that point, it's essentially using data to feel its way forward. And that's why we think it's going to raise rates today. It just thinks that the economy looks just about strong enough to withstand another rate hike.
So your feeling is that the bankers are relying more on data as opposed to whatever negotiations come out of Brussels?
I think so at the moment. I mean, that's the only justification for lifting interest rates. If you are really worried about the tail risk of a no-deal scenario or a very hard Brexit, then you would stand pat. But at the moment, it looks like they're taking their cue from the data. And that, in truth, is probably the right thing to do, because if things do pan out relatively successfully, Theresa May, in the end, and she manages to get a deal, what the Bank of England doesn't want to find itself is behind the curve, where it has to lift rates quickly to try and rein inflation back in. And that's the big risk that the bank is worried about. So I think it thinks moving slowly and moving, I wouldn't say in advance, but getting hikes in when it seems justified and reasonable is a better approach to rushing a lot of hikes and potentially choking off the recovery and causing a problem in the UK economy.
Real quickly, it makes it sound like the MPC members are trying to give themselves more ammunition in case there's another downturn.
Yeah, possibly. That is definitely an argument, but you wouldn't want to be raising rates just to get yourself to a position where you can cut them, and by raising rates, you then push the economy, I don't want to say into recession, but you cause growth to slow significantly. So, but there is definitely that feeling. There's that feeling that essentially the Bank of England has used up close to all of its ammunition, and taking some stimulus back only puts it in a stronger position to deal with whatever might come next for the economy.
Dan Hansen, UK economist for Bloomberg Economics, always appreciate the insights, especially as the Bank of England is going to put out its rate decision in just about a half hour. We'll have live coverage at 7 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Governor Mark Carney's comments a half hour later at 7:30. This is Daybreak. And we want to introduce you to At TikTok by Bloomberg. It is the first and only global news network built for Twitter, 24/7 news streaming live. Check it out. At TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning at 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A fresh round of trade war fears is sending stock markets lower across the world. The hardest hit, Asia. Stocks in China and Hong Kong fell more than 2%.
Turkey's lira tumbled past 5 per dollar to a record low. Government bonds and stocks also slumped after the U.S. imposed unprecedented sanctions on Turkey.
It's the Bank of England's turn following the Fed's decision to stand pat. But unlike the U.S. central bank, economists are forecasting the BOE will raise rates a quarter of a point.
On the earnings front, Dow, DuPont, Cigna, Aetna, and CBS lead four dozen companies in the S&P 500 reporting results today. We get a CBS preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
CBS started the year on a strong footing, and Bloomberg Intelligence says the network likely built on that momentum in the second quarter. The network's earnings call could be especially newsworthy. Fox News has reported that embattled CEO Les Moonves plans to speak on the call. The CBS board this week decided an outside counsel should look into charges of sexual misconduct by Moonves. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. Tesla shares are up more than 8.5% in early trading, the electric car maker burning through less cash than analysts expected last quarter.
In Europe, BMW is down more than 2%. Chinese consumers held back buying cars in the second quarter as the German automaker finds itself in the crosshairs of a U.S.-China trade spat.
Shares of Barclays were initially higher after reporting earnings. They're now down 1%. The bank beat on most key metrics, including trading revenue.
French bank Société Générale also beat earnings estimates, but the stock is down 2% after posting a 4% decline in revenue from stock trading and prime services. 6:32 on Wall Street, time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX rose yesterday to close at 13.15. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 14.38. And that is this morning's Volatility Report.
We are hearing from Aetna this morning. It reported a second quarter operating profit that beat analysts' estimates. Revenue, operating revenue, looks like it just missed. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures are down 18 points. Dow futures down 175. NASDAQ futures down 55. The DAX in Germany is down 1.7%. The 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.98%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 59 cents to $67.07 a barrel. The euro, $1.1615. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Michael Barr is here to tell us what is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump's lawyers and special counsel Robert Mueller appear to be nearing the final stages of talks for a possible interview. Trump's lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, suggested the president would only answer questions about whether his 2016 campaign colluded with Russia, not whether Trump obstructed justice. Meanwhile, the White House is defending President Trump's tweets, in which he says Attorney General Jeff Sessions should end the Russia investigation. White House spokesperson Sarah Sanders says the tweets were not in order. It was the president's opinion.
There's a reason that the president's angry, and frankly, most of America is angry as well, and there's no reason he shouldn't be able to voice that opinion.
Federal prosecutors presented invoices and accounting in an attempt to highlight the lavish spending of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Six vendors took the stand yesterday in Manafort's tax evasion and bank fraud trial. After over six decades since the end of the conflict in Korea, the remains of dozens of presumed U.S. war dead are home. Ed Baxter reports from the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
55 cases North Korea says contain the remains of American service members have been flown to Hawaii. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence says this proves that Korea is not the forgotten war.
We pledge to you, we will never stop striving until every hero lost in the Korean War is home.
Now the slow process of identification begins. DNA is a first line. Family members have already submitted their samples. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Deadly and destructive wildfires scorching Northern California are also burning through the state's firefighting budget. Officials say the state has already spent more than a quarter of its annual fire budget just a month into the budget year. California Governor Jerry Brown calls it the new normal.
We're in for a really rough ride. And it's going to get expensive, it's going to get dangerous, and we have to apply all our creativity to making the best out of what is going to be an increasingly bad situation, not just for California, but for people all over America and all over the world.
17 states are helping California battle the wildfires. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. In more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thanks. 6:35 is the time now on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. John Stanshire.
Nathan, hard to understand how the Yankees have a better record against the Red Sox than they do against the Orioles. Boston has won 75 games. Baltimore has lost 75, yet they beat the Yanks and the ineffective Sonny Gray 7-5 at the stadium. Gray booed off the mound in the third inning. Gleyber Torres hit two home runs in the loss. Yanks 6-6 against Baltimore, 5-4 against Boston. They're in Boston tonight to start a huge four-game series. CC Sabathia on the mound. Yanks 5.5 games behind the Red Sox. Yankees are hopeful Jay Happ can make his start on Saturday. He has hand, foot, and mouth disease, the same rare affliction that hit the Mets' Noah Syndergaard. He returned yesterday, gave up three runs early on, nothing after that. Took the loss as Washington won 5-3. Mickey Callaway called Syndergaard a bright spot.
Obviously rusty at the beginning. You know, his schedule had been crazy. He was down for so long with the other stuff, and then came back, made one start, and then had the hand, foot to mouth, and then was out 11 days. But he really settled in and did a nice job. I thought for as strange as his routine has been, that he did a heck of a job.
Jose Reyes hit two home runs for the Mets the day after he pitched in that historic 25-4 loss and gave up two home runs. Urban Meyer's future as coach at Ohio State is in doubt after a report that he and his wife have known for at least 3 years about Zach Smith's history of domestic violence. Meyer said last week he was unaware. Smith was recently fired as an Ohio State assistant. Meyer has been placed on paid leave pending an investigation. Bridgestone Golf and Akron teeing off today. All the big names are playing, including Tiger Woods. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
The White House has indicated President Trump will convene leaders of the Gulf Arab countries for a mid-October summit in Washington to encourage them to collaborate in the escalating struggle with Iran. That's a good idea and overdue. But U.S. officials also talk of creating an Arab NATO, and this would be a step too far, attaching American power and prestige to a project with little chance of success. Trump would do better to simply persuade the Arab states to stop fighting one another. He should more formally oppose the blockade that Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Egypt, and Bahrain have imposed on Qatar, and urge a speedy resolution to the inter-Arab conflict in Yemen. The Gulf states have limited military capacity, but they have other weapons, economic tools, and intelligence assets, to name two. Presidents Bush and Obama were able to command these in the war against Al-Qaeda and Islamic State without requiring a formal alliance. That's the more promising approach. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. A dispute within the Trump administration could be coming to a head. At issue, whether LGBT workers are protected by federal employment law. Nancy Lyons is in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom with details.
The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission believes the federal ban on discrimination at work includes sexual orientation and gender identity, but the Justice Department does not. Bloomberg Law's Chris Opfer says the Supreme Court has been asked to weigh in on a case involving a funeral home employee who was fired while transitioning from a man to a woman.
The EEOC needs the Justice Department's blessing to participate in cases at the Supreme Court level. So we don't know yet whether or not the Justice Department will give that blessing.
The deadline for a response is August 23rd. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nathan. As a small business owner, you may be withholding too little from your employees' paychecks. New tax withholding tables for employers were put together by the government earlier this year, and according to the Government Accountability Office, about 30 million workers received pay that was under withheld, making their paychecks bigger this year but bringing a larger tax bill at tax time next spring. The IRS has said the new withholding tables should produce an accurate withholding amount for people with simpler tax situations, but those who will still itemize who have larger families may want to take a closer look. And also on the tax front, House Republicans recently launched an effort to expand the tax law, aiming to make permanent the individual tax cuts and small business income deductions that are now set to expire in 2026. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Nathan.
John, thank you so much. The U.S. and Mexico are going to try to resolve one of the biggest sticking points left in overhauling NAFTA. The two sides are close to rules on cars. The Mexican delegation has arrived in Washington for talks with the U.S. trade rep. This is Bloomberg. It is coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. We're less than 20 minutes away from the Bank of England rate decision. Live coverage coming up at 7 a.m. Wall Street time. Followed by Governor Carney's comments at 7:30.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It's 6:47 on Wall Street, and futures this morning are falling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are under pressure amid weakness in global equities. Dow futures down 179 points, S&P's drop 18, and NASDAQ futures declined by 56. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.98%, and Shanghai and Hong Kong each fell 2% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower, led by 1.7% declines in Germany. And note the Bank of England rate decision is at 7 a.m. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobs claims, and at 10 o'clock, factory orders and durable goods orders. After the bell last night, Tesla reported shares are trading higher by 9% in the pre-market. And regarding some of the earnings this morning, Aetna and Clorox were mixed. AmerisourceBergen beat and looked for Kellogg to report around 8 a.m. In deal news, Deutsche Bank said that Cigna holders are seen unlikely to vote down the ESRX deal. And wrapping things up, HanesBrands was downgraded to equate at Barclays. Buggy downgraded to neutral at J.P. Morgan. Ferrari was upgraded to equate at Morgan Stanley. And Tesla upgraded to outperform at Oppenheimer. Price target, $3.85. Live from the First to Break a News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he looks forward to seeing North Korean leader Kim Jong-un soon. In a tweet, Trump said thank you to Chairman Kim Jong-un for keeping your word and starting the process of sending home the remains of our great and beloved missing fallen. I am not at all surprised that you took this kind action. It is day three of the tax and bank fraud trial of President Trump's ex-campaign chairman. Yesterday, jurors heard the tales of Paul Manafort's lavish spending, nearly all paid for either in cash or offshore wire transfers. The defense has argued that the illegal conduct alleged by the government was carried out by Manafort's associate, Rick Gates, without Manafort's knowledge. In baseball, the Yankees lost to the Orioles. The Yankees and Red Sox played tonight at Fenway. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The A's won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, do you want some movie memorabilia in your home? More than 600 items are up for grabs to be auctioned at Prop Store's annual sale of iconic memorabilia in London. Nathan, some of the items include Han Solo's jacket from Star Wars, Indiana Jones's fedora, and Marty McFly's hoverboard from Back to the Future.
I guess Harrison Ford unloaded a lot of stuff there.
Oh,
Han
yeah.
Solo, Indiana Jones.
Oh.
Would you buy any of that stuff?
Yeah, I'd buy the Marty McFly hoverboard.
I guess there's only one way to find out whether it actually hovers. if you plunk down some cash for the thing.
Well, now I'm going to make like a tree and get out of here.
There you go.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter.
Well done.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr McFly. This is Bloomberg.
Making me think, Michael. Think. Thank you. 6:50 now on Wall Street. Time to check in on what's going on in D.C. and some of the stories in our nation's capital include the rhetoric in the U.S.-China trade war ramping up yet again, the tax and bank fraud trial of Paul Manafort entering day three in Alexandria, Virginia, and President Trump coming perhaps a step closer to an agreement for an interview with Robert Mueller. Let's get more on these stories now with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And Kate, obviously the trade threats are front and center this morning. The White House confirming some of our early reporting that it is indeed considering even higher tariffs on those $200 billion in Chinese goods. Why is the Trump administration doing this?
Well, it's interesting because what we're seeing, I think, is sort of the China hardliners in the administration kind of having a moment of prominence. Basically, it looks like the Trump administration is trying, through threatening these higher tariffs, trying to coax China back to the negotiating table. There were some high-level talks that stalled about 2 months ago, and the threat of these higher tariffs coincides with some reporting that indicated that there are some efforts to restart those talks. And so basically, I think the Trump administration approach right now is to say, you know, come back and talk to us, essentially, or else you're going to have an even more worse deal than what, you know, you think you might be having in the short term.
Well, and as we saw when the red headline crossed the Bloomberg terminal just this morning, China is talking.
That's right. So basically, China is saying, okay, we hear you, America, and we are willing to match you in terms of retaliation, kind of punch for punch. So this is in some ways not expected because, you know, China's kind of said all along that they would retaliate and do kind of a tit for tat every step of the way. I thought what was interesting about their statement is that they cast it as sort of a matter of national pride, which was interesting. You know, it seems like the Trump administration and Trump and his rhetoric is really trying to be a tough guy and sort of cow China. And China is essentially saying, like, we have our pride here too, and so we're not going to fall victim to that.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like America first versus China first. Interesting negotiating tactics going on at the very least, I guess you could say. Let's turn now to Paul Manafort, day two of the bank and fraud trial in the books. What did we get?
So we perhaps the most interesting development really was kind of came not from the prosecution, which put forward a bunch of witnesses yesterday and really started digging into the nuts and bolts of its case. We've heard all along that the prosecution is coming armed with tons of witnesses and tons of evidence against Manafort. What was most interesting, though, is that the judge basically indicated that he's going to try to get them to move along more quickly than perhaps they might have wanted to. Several times kind of cut off prosecutors and encouraged them to keep moving when they were kind of lingering or even kind of yearning to talk more about a topic. So the prosecution has basically indicated initially before the trial started that they thought that their case would take about 3 weeks to present. And now they're saying that they could wrap that up as soon as next week. So what impact that will have on the jurors and how they view this, I think is, you know, unclear at this point, but it is interesting to note.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that affects the defense as well. I guess Manafort's team is playing the, well, it's the other guy's fault defense, right?
Definitely. So they've really sought, we saw kind of in the opening statements that Manafort's defense team's approach is going to be largely to try to impeach the prosecution's star witness, who's Rick Gates, who was Manafort's right-hand man for a long time during the time in question. And so it seems as though they're going to be making the case that, look, Gates made this deal with the prosecution. He's really the guy to blame, and he's trying to get himself off the hook and shift the blame.
And finally, could it be that we are actually getting closer to a President Trump sit down with Special Counsel Mueller?
Well, it definitely looks that way. I mean, all indications are that they are edging closer to some kind of agreement. They've been negotiating for a long time, Trump's attorneys and the special prosecutor's team, about what the parameters of an interview would be. And it sounds as though they're edging closer to a potential decision on that. It was interesting that Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, is still saying that he doesn't expect a interview to materialize, but he said all along that he would be against that. The real issue here is that Trump really apparently wants to do this interview. And it sounds as though they're getting closer to an agreement on that. Now, the question is whether Robert Mueller would insist on being able to ask him questions about potential accusations that he obstructed justice, the president did, or whether the questions would be limited to inquiries about the Russia collusion with Russia on meddling in the 2016 election. I think that Trump's lawyers really don't want to get into the obstruction issue. And so whether or not Mueller agrees to that, I think, is the real question here.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal. Follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen?
Well, a sell-off in Asia is spilling into U.S. futures and European equities this morning as the Trump administration's latest threats on trade rattle markets. The White House confirming it's considering higher tariffs on Chinese goods, and China once again said it's prepared to retaliate if the U.S. makes good on that threat. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 18 points. Dow futures down 182. NASDAQ futures are down 56. Shares of Tesla, meanwhile, are higher. They're up 8.2% right now in early trading after the company burned through less cash in the second quarter. CEO Elon Musk also kicked off the company's earnings call by apologizing for his behavior on last quarter's call.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize for being implied on the prior call. Honestly, I think there's really no excuse for bad manners, and I was kind of violating my own role in that regard. That certainly I have some excuse. There are reasons for it, and that I've gotten no sleep, and I've been working sort of 10-hour or 20-hour weeks. But nonetheless, there's still no excuse. My apologies for not being polite on the prior call.
It was an unusual move by Elon Musk to kick off Tesla's earnings call with that apology. We head to our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco now for analysis from Dana Hull, who covers Tesla for Bloomberg.
I think the big takeaway was the tone. I mean, it was extraordinary that Elon led the conference call, first by sort of allowing the two analysts who he had been rude to last quarter get the first questions, and then directly apologizing to them both to Tony Sekanage from Bernstein and Joseph Spak of RBC Capital. That really kind of set a good tone. You saw the shares kind of go up even further once he did that, and he just showed the kind of contrition and patience that people expect of the CEO of a publicly traded company.
That's Bloomberg's Dana Hull reporting from our San Francisco bureau. Thank you, Dana. And shares of Tesla again higher this morning, up 8.2% right now. We are watching futures this morning with S&P futures down 17 points, Dow futures down 173. NASDAQ futures are down 55. We did get a report earlier, China saying it was ready to retaliate against the latest threat by the U.S. to raise tariffs on its goods. In a statement, China's Ministry of Commerce said China has made full preparation for the U.S. threats to escalate the trade war and will have to retaliate to defend national pride and the people's interests. We are getting earnings this morning from a number of companies in the S&P 500, and we heard from Dow DuPont for one. It reported total revenue up 17%, beating analyst estimates. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. And for our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Nathan Hanker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.